grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to the Rise and Shine. And yes, I've had a bit of my tea. I'm feeling fresh and I'm hoping we're all feeling fresh today. It's a beautiful day and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that on this beautiful day, Allah Azza wa Jalla enables us to perform those good deeds that we should perform, and refrain from those deeds that we should not perform. Inshallah, today we have another topic that affects all of us, affects every single one of us. And inshallah, hopefully we'll learn something new today as well. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala wa Sallam. It is narrated that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala wa Sallam said that Sayyidina Jibreel al-Islam came to him, stating humbly that Allah Azza wa Jal has said, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are you not pleased that when anyone from your ummah sends one salam, I send salam to him 10 times? Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madinah, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Paak, and also try and remember some of these blessings. And the reason why I ask you to do this is that if you remember some of these blessings, then you can then, when you meet somebody else, you can tell them that these are the blessings of reciting Durood-e Paak, and then inshallah, through your efforts, inshallah, they'll become habitual in reciting Durood-e Paak as well. And if you can make somebody else habitual in reciting Durood-e Paak, then inshallah, you will also be rewarded as well. So let's make a habit of reciting Durood-e Paak, and let's try and convince the whole of the ummah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to recite Durood-e Paak. Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And as you know, after we have the privilege of listening to a blessing of reciting Durood-e Paak, we also have the privilege and honor of listening to a few verses of the Holy Quran. We're now going to listen to a few verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rehm wala.
وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ.
اور تمہاری بیویاں جو چھوڑ جائیں اس میں سے تمہیں آدھا ہے اگر ان کی اولاد نہ ہو.
فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٌ فَلَكُمُ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْنَ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِينَ بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ.
پھر اگر ان کی اولاد ہو تو ان کے ترکے میں سے تمہیں چوتھائی ہے جو وصیت وہ کر گئیں اور دین نکال کر.
وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ.
اور تمہارے ترکے میں عورتوں کا چوتھائی ہے اگر تمہارے اولاد نہ ہو.
فَإِن كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ تُوصُونَ بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ.
پھر اگر تمہارے اولاد ہو تو ان کا تمہارے ترکے میں سے 8th جو وصیت تم کر جاؤ اور دین نکال کر.
وَإِن كَانَ رَجُلٌ يُورَثُ كَلَالَةً أَوْ امْرَأَةٌ وَلَهُ أَخٌ أَوْ أُخْتٌ فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ.
اور اگر کسی ایسے مرد یا عورت کا ترکہ بٹتا ہو جس نے ماں باپ اولاد کچھ نہ چھوڑے اور ماں کی طرف سے اس کا بھائی یا بہن ہے تو ان میں سے ہر ایک کو چھٹا.
فَإِن كَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِن ذَلِكَ فَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ فِي الثُّلُثِ مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصَى بِهَا
پھر اگر وہ بہن بھائی ایک سے زیادہ ہوں تو سب تہائی میں شریک ہیں۔ میت کی وصیت اور دین نکال کر جس میں اس نے نقصان نہ پہنچایا ہو۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and we just have the privilege there to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we all, myself included, we make a habit of reading or listening to the Quran on a daily basis, at least three verses with commentary and translation, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, it'll make a change in our lives. And what a beautiful way to start the day. You know, every day when I come on the Rise and Shine, one of the blessed parts of the day is that I get chance to listen to the Quran. And occasionally what happens is, because as you can gather that it comes through the studio, the Quran, and what happens is sometimes in my earpiece I don't hear the Quran, and I ask them to raise the voice, because for me it's the best part of the day, it's the start of the day, so that I can also listen to the Quran, you can also listen to the Quran, and we can all have the spiritual upliftment of listening to the Quran at the beginning of the day. What are we going to talk about today? I know you're all waiting for the Quran, but what are we going to talk about today? Today we're going to talk about the dunya, the love of this world. This world, we live in it. But what do we achieve from this world? And what don't we achieve from this world? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that if you were to put your finger in the ocean and take your finger out of the ocean and look at your finger, at how wet your finger gets. You know, like if you put your finger, if I was to put my finger in my tea, it's a bit hot at the moment, but if I was to put my finger in the tea, then how wet would my finger be if I was to take it in and take it out? It would be literally maybe one drop, maybe even not that. The water that is on your finger is the dunya. The water that is in the ocean is the akhirat. And viewers of Mother Channel, what happens is we run after this. We run after this damp patch on our finger and we forget that. And I'm going to give you a waqia here, viewers of Mother Channel, that's been narrated by Sayyidina Wahab bin Munabi, rahmatullahi ta'ala. He stated that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam passed by a town whose dwellers were human and jinns, beasts and birds, and all four-footed animals and insects were dead. Everything had passed away. He stood for a while and kept looking at it, and then paying attention to his followers, he said to them, "All of them have died of the torment of Allah Azza wa Jal. If it wasn't the case, then they would not have died all together." He then called these dead people, "O people of this town," and one of them replied, "O Ruhullah, here we are." He said, "What is your sin? What was the sin that you committed?" He replied, "We used to worship Shaitan and love the world." And he, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, said, "What was your worship of Shaitan?" And he replied, "We used to follow the ones who were disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jal." He then asked, "When the world would come to us, we would feel happy. And when it would go away from us, we would feel sad. We had high hopes at the time and we were displeasing Allah Azza wa Jal by disobeying him." He then asked, "How has this happened to you?" He said, "We spent the night peacefully, but in the morning we were in Hawaiya." He asked, "What is Hawaiya?" He replied, "Siddin." He asked, "What is Siddin?" He replied, "It is a live coal of fire equal to the whole parts of the world in which the souls of all of us have been buried." And he then said, "Why are your companions?" Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said, "But why are your companions not talking?" And he replied, "They cannot talk." And he, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, asked about the reason for it. And he replied, "The rains of fire have been put in their mouths as well." Astaghfirullah. He then asked, "Then you are talking me too. How is it possible that you are also talking to me? You are also one of them." And he replied, "Surely I am one of them. But I am not in the state in which they are. When trouble came, I also became the victim along with them. And now I'm hanging with the Hawaiya in Hawaiya. I do not know whether I will be thrown into the hellfire or I will reach salvation." Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, this parable contains many, many advices and admonition there for us of how we should live our life. And the love of this world, it takes over us. You know, we live in this world and we want to achieve so much more. We want to have one house, then we want to have two houses, then we want to have three houses, then we want to have four houses, then we want to have more land, we want more money, more wealth, more cars, more clothes, more gold, more silver, more platinum, more diamonds, or whatever it is, we want more and more and more, and our greed is never filled. And we never realize how much is enough. And I remember once reading a story, a few years ago on the channel, about how much land does a man need. And in it there was a king. And the king, what did the king do? The king had four sons. And he said to his four sons, I want to distribute my kingdom. I want to distribute my kingdom to my four sons. So he called his sons at Fajr. And he said to them, I want you to set off in different directions, north, south, east, west. And I want you to go as far as you can go. And however, whatever distance you cover, that land is yours. That will become your kingdom. Whatever land you cover, only one condition. You have to be back here by Maghrib. You have to be back here by sunset. So they got on the fastest horses. And when the king said to him, okay, travel, they set off. And the dust from the hooves was coming everywhere. And they set off in the direction. And the king patiently sat there and waited. The time for Zohr arrived. Nobody was back. The time for Asr arrived. Nobody was back. The sun began to set. The time for Maghrib arrived. And nobody had got back. The reason being, viewers on the channel, just a bit more. Just a bit more. Just a bit more land. And these four sons of him thought, if we can go a little bit further, we can go a little bit further, we can go a little bit further. And ultimately what happened? They had nothing. They had nothing. And the only thing that was probably in their destiny from that land was the land that they were going to be buried in. So isn't that what happens to us in real life, using the channel? That we run after land, we run after property, we run after wealth, we run after these things, all of these things that we do. But ultimately, we're just going to have a piece of land that's just over 6 foot long and maybe 3 foot wide. That is your land. And so, if I was to say to you that no matter what you do, you will only have this one piece of land, then would you not beautify that land? Would you not protect that land? Would you not do anything, everything to make sure that that land is safe and secure? In the same way, viewers of the channel, your grave is your land. What are you doing to beautify your grave? What are you doing to secure your grave? What are you doing to protect your grave? We forget about it, don't we? We forget about it, that we're going to pass away. We ignore it. We know it's going to happen. You know, and these people that study psychology, they say to you that the brain has many boxes. The brain has loads of boxes. And in certain boxes, you put certain things. For example, you know, I was an engineer. I'm still an engineer. When I was doing my engineering, whatever I learned, I put that in that box. Whatever experience I gained or whatever jobs I did, I put it in another box. When I'm traveling in a motherly car, I have another box that I open up, and whatever I've learned, I improve, etc., etc. And so we have all of these boxes in our heads. And we open them as and when we need to. Whenever we want to remember something about our childhood, we open up a box of our childhood. Whenever we want to remember something of when we were working, there's a box there about our working. And there's also a box there about death. It's not something we don't know. It is something that we know. Like I know about my engineering, about my experience from engineering. I can remember my childhood. I can remember the jobs I've done, the work that I've done, the places I've got. I can remember all them things. So it's not something I don't know. In the same way, death is something that we know. Without doubt, nobody, I don't think any person will say, well, I didn't know that we pass away. I didn't know anything about death. I don't know that death comes to us. We all know it. We all know it. It's probably, if there's one fact in this dunya that everybody knows about, it's death. Okay? They might not know how to make a cup of tea. They might not know how to drink a cup of tea. They might not know anything. But every single person on this planet today knows about death. But why don't we open that box? Why don't we think about what's in that box? Why don't we think about the time where that box will open and it will remain open? The time when we will pass away. We close that box. We seal that box. We put chains around that box. And we put it right to the back of our mind. And the only time that we ever just look at that box, let alone open that box, we look at that box when someone else passes away. When you go to the masjid and the namaz-e janazah is taking place. And after the namaz-e janazah, you go to the front and you look at the dead person. And for a split second, or maybe even for a few seconds, for a few moments, you think to yourself, you know what? It could be me. And the Imam Sahib, every single time there is a namaz e janazi, he says to you that this body is calling out to you, is telling you that, look, I have gone, you are coming. Don't make the same mistakes that I made. But we ignore that. We ignore that. And when you talk to people, when you say to people that, look, you know, prepare yourself for this and get yourself for this, and why are you running after money? Why are you running after this wealth? Why are you running after this? People, many people will reply, well, you know, this world, it only respects people that have got money. If you have money, you're respected. If you have money, you have status. If you have power, people listen to you and look up to you. If you don't have these things, you can't get out in this dunya. And yes, money, I'm not saying money is not a necessity. Money is needed. We need money, without doubt. But if money becomes a priority in our life, if wealth becomes a priority in our life, if wealth takes over our life, then we're on the road to ruin. And that's what happens. That becomes our priority. Our grave, our afterlife, our good deeds become little more than a hobby. You know, a hobby is something that, you know, if you like to play cricket, or you like to watch cricket, or whatever it is, a hobby is something you do in your spare time. You know, whenever I got time, I like to go to the gym. Whenever I get time, I like to go for a long walk, because walking is my hobby. Whenever I get time, I like to go jogging, or I like to go swimming, or I like to do this. It's something I like to do when I've got some spare time. Our good deeds, our afterlife, have become little more than a hobby. That we do them when we have some spare time. And if we don't have any spare time, then never mind, next week. It's like when if you want to go to the gym this week and you've not gone, oh, never mind, I'll go next week. I'll go the week after. And what happens is when you know those people that go to the gym regularly, if you do not stop going to the gym, then what happens is you miss 1 week, you'll miss two, you miss three, you miss four. In the same way, if you are performing good deeds, then what will happen to you is them good deeds that you're performing, if you do not perform them consistently and you start giving them up, because they are spare time hobbies. If these hobbies, you start giving them up, then what happens is your hobbies disappear. And many of the people that are watching today will remember the fact that they had so many hobbies in their youth. They had so many things that they used to do. What's happened to them hobbies? You've given them up. You stopped doing them. In the same way, if our afterlife, our akhirat, our deen, our ibadat, our worship, our salah, our zikr, our Quran, and have we not realized, viewers of Islam, that what has happened in the past, that people in the past have been afflicted so much, they've been punished so much, that the example that I give to you of Sayyidina Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, what happened to that ummah then? That all of them were punished. Why? Because they all followed the whispers of shaitan. They all followed this dunya, they were engrossed in this dunya, and they forgot about performing good deeds. Isn't that happening to us? Are we on a daily basis, when we wake up, when we read the newspapers, listen to the news, go on the internet, what do? We're looking for opportunities. Where can I get a better job? Where can I make more money? Where can I do this? Where can I do that? Where can I buy this? Where can I sell this? Where can I make more money? Do we ever wake up in the morning and think, you know what? Today, you know, in the UK, it's a short day. The days are getting shorter, so I need to start fasting now because I can take benefit of it. Or do you ever think to yourself that, you know what, I've got holidays available. Yeah. And what I'll do is I'll book them holidays and I'll go on them with Nikafla. Do you ever think that when I wake up in the morning, you think to yourself, Ya Allah, you know, I'm thankful that I've been able to wake up in the morning. And what I should do is I should spend some of my money and my wealth and put it in a money box for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I should start the day like this. Do we ever wake up in the morning and think to ourselves, you know what, before I go to work, before I start earning for this dunya, yeah, then should I not at least read some Quran and take the benefit of the Quran? Allahu Akbar. Things to reflect on, viewers of the channel. Things to think about and things to focus on, that where are our lives going? What are we doing? And why is this happening to us? We need to take a step back. You know, they say that if you were to take a snapshot of your life, you know, people that are statisticians, you know, they do the statistics of or data analysis. What they do is they take a snapshot. And a snapshot is basically, a snapshot is like literally a picture of what the current situation is. And sometimes that snapshot hasn't everything in it, but it's a snapshot of what's happening now. So if you were to take a snapshot right now of the Muslims in all of the world, then the snapshot would come back and say to you, well, the minority are those that are performing Salah. the minority are those that performing fasting during the month of Ramadan. There is a small minority that perform the Hajj. There is a small minority that pay the zakat. But put the rest of the ummah to one side. Let's do a snapshot of myself. A little picture of myself. And ask myself, what is this person doing? Right now, what is his status? Not his status in the dunya, not how much money he's got. Not sitting down and think, well, you know, if I gather that bank balance together, if I sell that house, if I sell this, if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, I'll have £200,000. No. Do a snapshot of yourself and say, look, if the angel of death was to come to me right now, how do I think, under the way I've lived my life, with regards to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla, with regards to namaz, fasting, zakat, hajj, all the other sins that we've talked about, the spiritual diseases that we talked about, the good deeds that we talked about, in light of all of them things that we've talked about so far, and you constantly hear them on Madani Channel, what is my state? Will, question, just one question. Will Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with me of what I've achieved so far? Not in the dunya, again, not in the dunya, not will Allah be pleased with me because I've got, you know, 40 acres of land, I've got a £4 million bank balance, I've got a Mercedes, I've got a Jaguar, I've got a Rolls Royce, I've got all these flashy cars. No, will Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with me with regards to those things that please Allah Azza wa Jalla? And it's not 40 acres of land that pleases Allah Azza wa Jalla. Two rakat nafal would please Allah Azza wa Jalla more than that 40 acres of land. Doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla will please more than that gold that you have hoarded. If only we realize. Use the Middle Channel, we need to think, we need to reflect. And we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day. And hopefully we'll learn something in the reminder of the day. But I want you to think and reflect that, where am I going? You know, when you're on a motorway, you're going on a motorway and you can see the signpost. And the signpost will tell you, I'm going towards London, I'm going towards Scotland, I'm going towards Manchester, I'm going towards Birmingham. What does your signpost say? Ask yourself, what does my signpost say? Where am I going? Think and reflect, Views on the Channel. Views on the Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and I think we all need to think and reflect, but we're just going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day, and inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we'll be back straight after it. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Many respected viewers of Madani Channel, Islamic Buddhists, they were traveling in Madani Qafila. Now, what is Madani Qafila? Madani Qafila is a retreat where brothers, they go and stay in masjid, and they stay there for approximately like minimum 3 days or maybe more, and they learn their religion. And they also practice their religion, they invite people towards righteousness also. And there are certain learning sessions, alhamdulillah, they happen during Madani Qafila. So it was a Madani Qafila. One of the participants, he was old-aged person. And when the session started, learning session started, so what was being mentioned? It was being mentioned that what is the method of ghusl? How to take bath according to Islam? Right? What is the prophetic way of taking bath? So, three important fara'id, they were being mentioned when Muballigh of Dawat Islami mentioned the three fara'id. All of a sudden, that old aged person who was sitting there, participant who was learning, he started crying. When it was asked the reason of crying, he mentioned that I am now maybe more than 50 or 60, whatever age he mentioned, but until today, I did not know what are the fara'id of ghusl. Allahu Akbar. That means I've lived all my life and I did not know even how to take bath properly. What is the prophetic way? What is the sunnah way of taking bath? What are the important bits in taking bath? Allahu Akbar. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, definitely this is something to reflect upon. This is something to notice. We have learned so much. We have many, there are brothers, mashallah, they have learned all their lives. They've taken education. They may have gone to school, college, universities. Many degrees they could have obtained. But unfortunately, if it is asked that even what are the fara'is of ghusl, that definitely there are some Muslims, they don't even know that. Now the question is, do I know? The question is, those who are watching, do they know? Even we are grown. We have lived lots of years of our lives. If we don't know even this much of the basics, then we need to reflect upon. And we need to, dear respected Islamic brothers, we need to shed some tears upon our fate and how negligent we have been throughout our lives that we don't even know how to purify ourselves. Now during this period, maybe those they don't know, they could have gone to masajid, they could have touched Quran all their life. They didn't know how to purify themselves. This is really something alarming. So today, inshallah, I would like to mention those three important points, those three important fara'id. If you miss one of them, your ghusl will not be valid. You will not be able to touch Quran. You will not be able to recite Quran. You will not be able to offer salah. You will not be able to enter in masjid. Various other rulings when you are not park. So what are those three important bits which you must make sure when you take bath if a ghusl is fard upon you? If it is compulsory for you to take ghusl, then these are the three things you cannot miss. What are those three important bits? Number one, rinsing the mouth. Right? Rinsing the mouth. That is the first one. Second, sniffing water inside the nose. Ablution of the whole apparent body. Washing your whole body. Apparent body. That is the third important bit. The respected viewers of Madani Channel, Hanafi way of taking bath. Very short and brief, I would go through with you, and you should remember these points. Right? Make the following intention in heart without uttering any word with tongue. So what intention you would make without saying from your tongue? I'm going to take bath for acquiring purity. This would be the intention. First, wash both hands up to wrist three times. Now, if there is impurity on any part of the body, remove it. Perform wudu as done for salah. Now, moisten the body with wet hands, especially in winter season. During this, soap may be applied. Now, pour water three times over right shoulder, three times on left shoulder, on head, and then three times on the whole body. Now, shift apart from the place of ghusl and wash feet, if not washed during wudu. Do not face qibla during ghusl. During bath, rub all the body by hands. Take bath at such place where nobody could see you. So dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, this was the brief Hanafi method, which includes the precautions also, which includes fara'id also, important bits also, and sunnahs also. So if you would like to know more about it, in detail you would like to learn, I would like to recommend you Laws of Salah. It's a beautiful book of Amir of Ahl Sunnah which gives you all these details. That's all for today. Inshallah, it's a very important reminder. Not only learn yourself, but teach others also. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some very important mother pearls that were given by Rizwan Bhai with regards to the basic knowledge of the deen that we don't have. And he mentioned an example there where he came across people that are in a Madani Kafla, they came across people that didn't even know the faraiz of ghusl. And that's not a one-off. You know, that's not a one-off situation. That happened so many times that we do not even know how to perform ghusl properly. I went in a Kafla, I've been in many, many countries. I went to a country a long way from here. I'll tell you the country actually. It was in Australia. I was in Australia. And there I met people that they said to me, the person said that, you know, I've just learned today the faraiz of ghusl and I'm pretty confident that my wife doesn't know them as well. And I said to them, how old are you? And he said, they're in the late 40s. So they've been married for X number of years. They did not know the faraiz of ghusl. I remember I went in a kafla somewhere, I think it was in Ireland once. I went to a city in Ireland and I was there and I mentioned the fact that the lack of knowledge and the fact that we don't know how to perform ghusl properly. And the Imam Saab, he stopped me and he said, can you tell people the faraiz of ghusl? And I realized then that he had a doubt about the congregation that they didn't know this. So I started to tell the people the faraiz of ghusl. And you know, when you're doing a speech, you can tell whether people are listening or not, or whether they're paying attention or not. Because what happens is sometimes people are on the phone, sometimes people are looking at the book, sometimes they're... And you know that they are paying attention. When I started mentioning the faraiz of ghusl, I can confidently say that 80 to 90% were paying so much attention that maybe they were listening to the rest of the Biyan, but now they were in full concentration. And that made me think. That made me think that amongst here, there are people here that do not know the faraiz of ghusl. And I know we're talking about the dunya today, but I want to use this opportunity very, very quickly, use them on the channel, just to give you the three faraiz of ghusl. Very, very easy, but very, very important that we learn these. Number one is that when you do ghusl, your water, you do gargle your water and get it to the back of your throat. It's got to get to the back of the throat. And all of the mouth inside needs to be washed. And one of the best ways is, because our mouths are normally quite warm, put cold water. Put cold water in your mouth. And when you put cold water in your mouth, you can actually feel the water going everywhere. Because if you don't put cold water in, then sometimes it doesn't get to our back of the corners. It doesn't get where it should go. And it does get on top of the gums. But when you put cold water, you can actually physically feel it getting there. So that's the first faraiz. And if you do not perform that faraiz, your ghusl will not be valid. The second one is, you need to sniff up water up your nose. Sniff up water, and you've got a soft bone here. There's a soft bone here. And when you sniff it up, you can actually feel a slight discomfort. You'll feel a little bit of a tinge that the water's got up there. And the third is washing the whole of your body, making sure that every part of your body gets wet. Now, I know that sounds simple. It sounds simple. Yes, get the whole part of your body wet. But you remember, as I'm standing now, then under my arms. If I'm not careful, then under my arms won't get. If I'm just like washing myself like this. If you're washing in a sitting position, a kneeling position, behind your knees. Yeah, the folds in your bodies, the places in your bodies, all of these places, you need to make sure that every part of your body gets wet. Some people's toes are like that. Some people's toes are like that. That they're open. If your toes are like that, then water will not get in between unless you open your toes. So again, simple precautions, but unless you do this, your ghusl is not valid. And if your ghusl is not valid, then all of that ibadah that we are talking about today that you need to perform, you need to perform your namaz, you need to fast during the month of Ramadan, you need to read the Quran, you need to do all these things. You're not even in a state of purity, then what's going to happen to your namaz? You're not in a state of purity and you're picking up the Quran, and rather than acquiring good deeds, you're acquiring sins because you're picking up the Quran in a state of impurity. You're performing your namaz in a state of impurity. So being in a state of purity and understanding what it takes to be in a state of purity is very, very important for every single Muslim male or female. And we need to understand this. And it saddens me that we know people like this. And you may be watching and think to yourself, well, no, no, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. No, 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 it doesn't happen. It does. And the reason why we think it doesn't happen is because we're in a bubble. You know, generally the people that are watching this program today, they've got a religious mindset. They decided to put on Madani channel because they have a religious mindset, they wish to acquire more knowledge of the deen, and they wish to learn something. So they put this channel on. But the majority of the people, you know, are not watching this channel. And then people that are not watching this channel right now, or Madani channel at any time, they are outside that bubble circle that we call, you know? And they're the people that possibly don't even know the basics. I've come across Muslims that do not know how to recite the kalma. I've come across Muslims who do not know the translation of the kalma, of the first kalma. They do not know this. We have, apparently people have met, well, I've not met some people have met Muslims that when the month of Ramadan comes, the month of Ramadan goes, they didn't even know it was the month of Ramadan. So yes, these people do exist. And we as Muslims, we need to help those people. And that is why the platform of Dawah Islami is there to help these people. And the platform of Dawah Islami, the mission of Dawah Islami, that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world. And in rectifying the people of the whole world, you're helping them people. You're helping them people to rectify themselves. You're helping them people to run away, to basically balance the dunya and the deen and prepare for the afterlife. So there is so much that needs to be done. And if we have this I'm alright Jack attitude, and for those of you who don't understand I'm alright Jack is a term that's used here in the UK that I'm okay, everything's okay with me, so why should I bother anybody else? And if we have this I'm alright Jack attitude, that we don't care about anybody else, then again we will be held responsible. Yes, you will be held responsible. If you're in a position to do something about it, then you will be held responsible. I remember once, we went on a Madri Kafla somewhere, in a different country. And in that country, we went, I think maybe about 12, 15 of us. And a lot of them were businessmen, solicitors, some lawyers. There were some people from the medical profession as well. We went there. And we were only there for 3 or 4 days. And I remember when we were coming back, and part of the journey on the way back was on a ship. And we're sitting on the ship, and this one brother said, we were asking generally, did you enjoy the kafla? You know, did you benefit from it? And they all said, yes, we benefit from it. And one person, he said to me, I shouldn't have come. I shouldn't have come with this kafla. And I got worried thinking that maybe something had happened to upset him. Maybe somebody had done something. Maybe somebody had said something. Maybe because, you know, when you're on with the kafla, the food is not very good and we have a simple food and everything. Maybe something had happened. And I said to him, brother, what happened? What have we done wrong? He said, no, 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 you've not done anything wrong, but I shouldn't have come on this kafla. And I said, why? He said, where we live, here, where we live, we have these masjids, we have these madrasas, we have all of these facilities, yeah? And we're in a comfort zone, we're in a bubble. I've come here and now realize that people don't have masjids here, they don't have madrasas here, they don't have these facilities here. And now because I know, then on the Day of Judgment, I will be asked, that what did you do about it? And that's the mindset that we need to have, that, you know, if you know that there's a problem there, then you can't have this I'm all right Jack attitude. You need to do something about it. And Dawah Islami enables you to do something about it. Dawah Islami is that platform that empowers you and enables you to do something about it. So I cannot stress enough that we need to collectively, every single one of us, I humbly request every single one of you that's watching today, please join the environment of Dawah Islami. Be active in calling people towards the deen. Be active in rectifying yourself and rectifying others as well. And this is not a mission of today. This is not just a mission of Amir al-Sunnah that started 30, 40 years ago. From the prophets, from the saints, the Sahaba, the Tabi'i Tabi'in, all of the pious predecessors, all their lives. If we look at the history of Islam, this mission of rectifying oneself and this mission of rectifying people around the world has happened. But we need to be part of it. We need to play our part. Yes, we need to live in this dunya. Yes, we need to have a house. Yes, we need to pay for our family and food and all these things. Yes, I'm not denying that. But at the same time, we need to be part of this mission, we need to be part of this job, of this work that helps rectifying those people around the world. And I remember once talking to Nigrani Shura about this, and I said that there are people that can do this, and there are people that can't do this. What about those people that can't do this? What about those people that cannot actively, like I'm speaking today, can't do this, or cannot be part of an organization for whatever reason? Because of the lifestyle, because of the, you know, you might have a managing director of a huge company, he hasn't got time. And Nigrani Shura said to me that if you cannot be part of the movement of rectifying people, if you cannot be part of the movement that forbids evil and promotes good, if you cannot be part of that movement, then promote that movement. Help that movement. Support that movement. So everybody has a part. Everybody has a job to do, and we all need to do it as well. Allah Akbar. Once again, I've gone away from the topic as well, but I think some of the words that Rizwan Bhai mentioned made me think and reflect that, what are we doing? You know, and we are so engrossed in this dunya that we're forgetting that these problems exist, and we think that, you know, we do a little bit, it's enough. You know, we do a little bit of the work for the deen, it's enough. You know, I come to realize, viewers of Minichan, that there are only 24 hours in a day. Something that we all realize, yeah? We all know this. We all know there's only 24 hours in a day. But if I was to say to you that if there was 100 hours in a day, then 100 hours in a day is still not enough for the amount of work and that we need to do for the deen to help people around the world. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that whatever time we do spend is quality time. Whatever time we do spend, we benefit from that time. Not only do we benefit, but others benefit as well. But we all need to get that balance right. We all need to get that balance of deen and dunya right. Yeah? And that is very, very important in our life. And inshallah, later on in the program, I'll give you some of the madri pearls that I learned once from the Granny Shuru regarding getting that balance. But for the moment, inshallah, we're going to go to the hadith of the day, and hopefully we're going to learn something new. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
It is mentioned in Tirmizi, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The most complete in terms of faith are those who have the best character, and خياركم, the best among you, are those who are the best with their women, meaning their wives. So for us it's a lesson that if we want to be the best in terms of Iman, in terms of faith, then we have to adopt good character. Our character, our nature, our behavior should reflect the fact that we have adopted good character and learned from the prophetic way. And another reflection of being good or being among the best is that we are good with the women of our household, or in this respect, the wife. So if a husband is bad to his wife, or does not treat her well in any way, or does not fulfill her right, he cannot be from those who are considered the best among the people. There may be people who are apparently very religious. They have a religious outlook, religious appearance. They seem very good outside, but when they come home, they are completely different people. And it's a lesson for them especially, and for many others generally. Men must learn that true character or good character is seen or reflected outside of the home and within the home as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, today, although before the break we got a little bit distracted, today we're talking about this dunya and how the world affects us and how the world is taken over us. I remember once hearing a beautiful story from somebody. He said to me, imagine if you follow football or you follow cricket or you follow any sport and it's the final. Let's take, for example, football, yeah? It's the World Cup final. It's the world final of football and you're a football supporter. You sit down to watch the football. You're watching the football, and during that 90 minutes of the game, your emotions are high and low. As your player does well, you're happy. As your player does bad, you get angry. As you score a goal, you get ecstatic. When you concede a goal, you get sad. And these emotions are up and down, up and down, up and down for the whole 90 minutes. Your blood pressure goes up, you're sweating, everything's happening, your heartbeat's there, your blood pressure's there, everything's going on. And then after 90 minutes, the whistle's blown. And when the whistle's blown, irrespective of the result, good or bad, you take a big breath and you go back to your normal life. Yes, as a result of what happened in that 90 minutes, you may be very, very happy for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, or the rest of the year. Or as a result of what happened in that 90 minutes, you may be very sad for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, or the rest of the year. But you go back to your normal life. This dunya is like that. That this dunya, we have the emotions, we get happy, we get sad, we get angry, we get emotional, our temperature's right, our blood pressure's right, our emotions are here. Everything, all these emotions, we have a roller coaster of emotions all our lives. But then we take one last breath. And when we take that last breath, we go back to reality. Yes, the afterlife is a reality. This is just a temporary world. This is just a temporary world. We're here for a short period of time. And like I said to you early on, the dunya, the water on the finger. The akhirat, the water in the ocean. And in regards to this being a temporary world, being nothing more than a game. Yes, a game, a pastime. Allah Azza wa Jalla stated in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, you should know that the life of this world is nothing but play and amusement and an adornment, and you're boasting amongst yourselves and the desire to surpass each other in wealth and children. That's what this dunya is. And that beautifully encompasses, and if we listen to the tafsir of this, I'm going to read the tafsir regarding this. It's written in tafsir Siratul Jinan about the above mentioned blessed verse. The reality of the world is being mentioned in this ayat, so that Muslims do not feel inclined to, because the world is very less beneficial and is about to end soon. In this blessed ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned five things about the world. Number one and two, that the life of the world is only fun and a frolic. That is the pastime of children. Further, to work hard only for attaining it is nothing but a waste of time. Number three, the life of this world is the name of beauty and adornment. That is the way of women. And number four and five, the life of the world is the name of feeling proud and being arrogant of one another and wanting more wealth and children than others. When this is the state of the world and it has such a defects, one should become occupied with the acts by which his hereafter may improve instead of taking interest in it and making efforts to gain it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So this is what this dunya is. That is where we compete with each other. That we're here just to have fun and have a bit of a pastime, have a bit of a laugh. You know, I remember reading the other day that somebody wrote that this life is not a dress rehearsal. And what he meant by that is that, you know, when people, a dress rehearsal means it's a practice run, you know, a practice run. That what happens is some people, when they get married, they'll have a dress rehearsal of the activities. That at this time you're going to walk down here, at this time you're going to come in here, and they'll practice it. This time, you know, these people will come. This time the boys' family will come. At this time the girls' family will come. At this time the camera will, and they'll have a dress rehearsal. They'll practice it, and they call it a dress rehearsal. And someone wrote that this life is not a dress rehearsal to enjoy it. This life is not a dress rehearsal for this life. Yes, you're not going to get another chance. So you're not going to get another chance. So in the same way that that person says you're not going to get another chance to enjoy it, I'm going to say to you, you're not going to get another choice. You're not going to get another chance. Make sure you take full benefit from it. And what benefit should we be getting? The preparation of the hereafter. You know, just to give you an example of using the channel. Here in the UK and in many, many countries, people leave their homelands. They get visas. They have student visas, work visas, and they go to different countries around the world to make money. And it's understandable because people have financial needs and people want to go to better their lives and they go there. But at the same time, I would say to those people that they need to make sure that they don't lose their deen. But this story that I'm going to give to you, inshallah, I'm going to give that story after Hava Kalam, because I've realized we've not listened to a Kalam today, have we? No, we haven't. I want to listen to a Kalam, and I'm sure that you want to listen to the Kalam. So this story that I'm going to give to you about the people that get work permit visas or visiting visas, inshallah Azza wa Jal will give it after the Kalam. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
بن گیا ہوگا
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'm glad we had the kalam of the day. We missed it early on, didn't we? I do apologize for that, but we've had it now, inshallah. Achha, viewers, I was talking about an example of where somebody goes to a different country in the world. He goes there on a work permit, a student visa, or a visit visa, whatever it is. And what he does is, when he goes there, he tries to earn money, because obviously that's the purpose in him going there. And when he goes there, what happens is sometimes when the visa runs out, he's supposed to return to his country of origin or apply for an extension. And if he does neither of these, if he doesn't return to his country or he doesn't apply for an extension, he becomes what is called an illegal immigrant. Now, an illegal immigrant and someone that is legal, their actions are slightly different. The illegal immigrant is always looking over his shoulder. He's always scared that he's going to get caught, because he knows that when he gets caught, he's going to get caught, he's going to be taken to the detention center, and from the detention center, he's going to be put on a plane and he'll go back to his country of origin. So he doesn't want to get caught. Why? Because he wants to earn as much money as he can. And what that person does with his money, he doesn't put it in banks. He doesn't buy houses there, or cars there, or gold there, or spend it on flashy holidays or whatever it is. He sends that money back to his country of origin, because he knows sooner or later, in the back of his mind, he knows sooner or later he's going to get caught. And when he gets caught, he's not going to have chance to go to the bank. He's not going to have chance to sell that car. He's not going to have chance to sell that house. So what he does is he makes as much money as he can. He works as many hours as he can, and he sends it all back home. I'm not asking you today how much you sent back home. I'm asking you today, how much have you sent forward? Not in the form of money. How much have you sent forward in the form of good deeds? Whilst you're in this dunya, whilst you're living in this dunya, what have you sent forward? Is it in the form of good deeds? What have you done to improve your hereafter? What have you done for that time? And in the same way that that person, when he is caught, he hasn't got the chance to go to the bank and put his credit card in and draw out as much money as he can. In the same way, when the angel of death catches you, you will not have the time to perform one sajda. Fortunate are those viewers of the channel. Fortunate, very, very fortunate are those people that on their lips, when they pass away, they recite the kalma. They are fortunate amongst those people that they have that. And you know that person, that's the illegal immigrant, the government might have an armistice. It might say, okay, you know what? Everybody that is illegal, we're going to make you legal. Come forward, apply for your papers, and we'll give you a nationality, we'll give you a passport. He's living with that hope. He's living with that hope that maybe, just maybe, that might happen. But we can't live with that hope that the angel of death is going to say to him, no, don't worry, we're not going to come for you. We're never going to come for you. The angel of death will come for us. The angel of death will come for me. The angel of death will come for you. And we all know that. I mean, I'm not stating something new. I'm not giving you some new facts that you've not heard of before. But all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make you think and reflect upon these facts that we all know. There's sometimes something staring at us in the face, but we can't read it, we can't see it, because our focus is elsewhere. You know, when this is close to me, if I'm focusing on a long distance, I can't see what's written on the cup. Why? Because I'm focusing out there. I can't see what's written here. And that's what's happening to us, that we're focusing so far away that we're not realizing what's right in front of us. This dunya, the focus of the dunya has taken over us, that we can't see what's happening in front of us. And this dunya is taking over us, views of the channel. It is narrated that Sayyidina Ali Khawas, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, stated that the world is a daughter of the cursed shaitan. And anyone who loves the world is the husband of shaitan's daughter. Shaitan visits the world seeking person because of his daughter. So, oh my brother, if you want to stay safe from shaitan, do not establish a relationship with his daughter, i.e., do not establish a relationship with the dunya. Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala nauma, said that on the day of judgment, an extremely ugly blue-eyed old woman with her teeth sticking out will appear in front of people. They will be asked, do you know her? And people will reply, we seek refuge in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jalla from recognizing her. They will be told, this is the same world that you used to be proud of. You used to break off relations due to it, and you used to feel jealousy and enmity towards one another because of it. Then the world in the form of the old woman, will be put into the hellfire, and she will call, O my creator, where are my followers and my people? And Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, bring them also with her. And in this incident here, we also hear that as a result of this love for the dunya, we break off relations. We break off relations with our family, we have enmity with our family over this dunya. You know, you'll find that two brothers will fight for a portion of land no bigger than this PC tablet. The land may be worth £100 and they'll spend thousands of pounds in court fees just so that I have the land and he doesn't have the land. And we break off relations just because of the dunya. Oh, that when I got married, I give them £20, yeah? They give me nothing. Yeah, forget them, I'm not going to invite them in the future. Just because of that. Just because of little things like that, you're breaking off relations with people. You know, I spent so much on the wedding, they did nothing for me. And then you break off relations. Why? Because they didn't have it. Maybe the situation was there that they didn't have that money. You know, and then when that same relative, when that same brother, that same sister that you've not spoken to for years because they did not give your son, your daughter £20 or they did not ask for your son or daughter in marriage or they did not invite you to a wedding or they did not send you this or did not do this or did not do that. When that same relative of yours passes away, you're sitting there crying. You've not met them for 20 years and now you're sitting there crying. What is the point in that? What is the point in crying then? You know, and again, that is something that we need to do, viewers of Malaysia. Life is too short. Life is too short to have this enmity inside us. This dunya is taking over us, and as a result of this dunya, we're creating so many other sins. Life is too short. Learn to forgive each other. Learn to humble yourself. You know, I remember that somebody, one of my relatives, they always used to say, my uncle, he always used to say to me, "Matti pao," yeah, put dirt on it. Meaning, bury the problem, forget about it. This is the problem, you're angry with somebody, put dirt on it. Forget it. Bury that problem and forget about it. Pretend it doesn't exist. And this is what we should do, we should end our problems, end our enmity. Otherwise, this dunya is taken over us so much that we don't want to know anybody. And what is happening now is because in countries like in the West where we've become a little bit more affluent, we've become a little bit more wealthy, we've become a little bit money, now all of a sudden, I don't need him. I don't need to speak to him. I've got my own money now. I don't need anybody. Why should I speak to him? And we reject our relatives. We don't want to know them now. Because they're poor. Because they don't have a lot of money. Well, I've got enough now. I don't need anybody. So you break relationships on the fact that you've got more money than them. Yeah? And on the Day of Judgment, if you asked, why did you break relationships with your brother? And you say, well, I broke him because I had a bank balance of £1 million and he had no bank balance. Do you think that's going to benefit you? Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And we're just going to take a small break and now, inshallah, and hopefully we'll learn something. Now, let's go to the break. And inshallah, when we come back, we'll have got maybe 8-9 minutes left. Inshallah, we'll talk about the dunya and we'll wrap up this topic as well, inshallah. Let's go to the package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, we often see nowadays people showing impatience. They become impatient upon smallest of the matters. There are many virtues of showing patience upon the calamities that we receive. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one who observes patience when a calamity befalls upon him and returns it, i.e. the calamity, with good patience, then Allah Almighty writes 300 ranks in His Book of Deeds. And the distance between each of the ranks is the distance between the heavens and the earth. So dear viewers of Madani channel, do not lose this reward, do not be deprived of this reward by showing impatience. And if ever there is a calamity that befalls upon you, then show patience upon it and be content upon the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شاء الله. Wasim Bhai is telling us about having patience in the face of calamities. And again, that's something that we need to learn to do. That whatever situation you're facing, whatever problem that you are facing, you need to have patience, you need to have tasabr. Because not everything is in your control. Not everything is in your control. And you need to think to yourself that the one whose hand it is in control, Allah Azza wa Jalla has a control of everything else, then He knows better than me. So whatever is the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla, learn to accept it. And if we learn to accept whatever is the will of Allah Azza wa Jal and have patience in whatever Allah Azza wa Jal wills for us, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal will benefit us. And you know, as you go through lives, there are many times in your life that you want to go on this path, but you can't. And Allah Azza wa Jal has created such a thing that you can't go on that path, but you end up going on this path. And later on in your life, trust me, I've realized, viewers of the channel, in many, many instances in my life, I've realized that many, many times I've wanted to go here, but circumstances, and I'll use the word circumstances have forced me to go here. But now I've realized that I've been shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah stopped me from going there. And Allah enabled me to go here. And this was the path that I needed to be on. And I've been shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we have patience in whatever happens and think to yourself that whatever is happening, it is for my betterment. And have this patience, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. You have contentment in your heart. You'll have the spiritual uplift in your heart as well. And you live a life of peace and tranquility. Viewers of the channel, we're talking about living in this dunya, and there's so much we can say, but I want to mention one Madani pool that was given to us by Nigrani Shura. The Shura, which is the executive cabinet of Dawah Islami, meets on a regular basis. And when they meet, what they do is whatever has been discussed, the minutes of the meeting, the Madani pool are all typed up and they're available on the internet. We put them on there, that this is what's been discussed, this is what the organization is planning on doing, this is what we need to do. And any words of wisdom that I mentioned are also recorded there. And there is one that was probably from maybe now, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now. Maybe more, maybe less. I think maybe more. That in it, Nigrani Shura said that you need to have 4 things in your life. If you have these 4 things in your life, then you'll be successful. And these 4 things are not such that you need to have them 4 equal. You know, it's like when you're making a soup, you're making some soup and you have to have a little bit of salt in it. You have to have some pepper in it. You have something in it. And the quantities can be different. You may need more salt, or you may need more pepper, or you may need more vegetables, or less meat, or whatever. But these are the ingredients in life. Not the quantities of the ingredients, but the ingredients. And he said that these 4 things, if you have them in your life, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, you'll live a good life. Number one is you need to give time to make money. Nobody's denying that we don't need money. Yes, we need money. We all need money. But money should not be a priority in our life. Money is a need, but it should not be a priority. Unfortunately, with a lot of us, it becomes our priority. We forget about everything else, and money becomes everything, and we forget that we need to do anything else but earn money. And you see people 12 hours a day, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and all they're doing is earning money. Money. The Grand Shura said, yes, you need to give time to money. The second thing that you need to give time to is your family. You need to give time to your family. Because if a person's earning money all the time and he's not giving time to his family, not giving time to his children, not giving time for the tarbiyat, then what is the benefit of that money? Yes, you'll be able to buy them the best trainers, the best PC tablet, you'll be able to buy them the best computers or best games or whatever it is, your best education, but you'll not be able to give them that tarbiyat, that time that they need of you. The third thing Nigrani should have mentioned. He mentioned the third thing that you need to give is you need to give something to your personal spiritual improvement. Your personal spiritual improvement. And whether that is involved in reading Islamic books, listening to lectures, watching Madani channel, or whatever it is, but something that improves you spiritually, spending time in doing zikr, spending time in reading the Quran, that's personal spiritual time. You need to have that. And fourth, and finally, you need to give something back to the deen. You need to give something back to the deen where you spend time in serving the deen. Be it through your financial support, be it through your physical support, be it through your time, through your money, but you need to do something. You need to be part of doing the work of the deen. And if a person has these 4 ingredients in his life, and this is not just for me, this is for everybody, even those mubaliks of Dawah Islami, that are working there, if the mubaliks of Dawah Islami, even if they're doing the work of the deen, but they're not giving time to their family, they're not earning any money, but they're doing the 12 Madani works all day long, but then everything else will suffer. So it's getting the right balance, views of Madani channel. So we need to learn to get the right balance in our lives. Views of Madani channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine today. And on Rise and Shine, we've been talking about the dunya and how we're engrossed in the dunya. Just to sum up what we've mentioned today, we mentioned the fact that the love of the world can cause sudden death, as we heard at the beginning with the incident with Sayyidina Hazrat Isa al-Islam. The love of the world makes a person commit sins. As you go towards the dunya, forget what you should be doing and you start doing that. The world is the daughter of the cursed shaitan. The love of the world makes a person heedless of the preparation of the death and the preparation of the hereafter. And the love of the world becomes the cause of the desire to have nice clothes, nice food, nice splendid houses, but forgets about having that nice house in paradise as well. And the love of the world creates a greed for getting wealth. Love of the world in the heart means you have been deceived by shaitan. The one who loves the world will be put into the hellfire after being dragged into the hereafter. Allah-loving people would always get away from the love of this world. I'd like to finish with this, viewers of my channel. This dunya is like an ocean, and we're on a ship. We have to travel through this ocean. We have to go through this ocean. We have to get to our destiny. But the problem what happens is, when the dunya becomes part of our lives, when the sea starts coming in our ship, in the same way that when the sea comes in our ship, we are drowned in the dunya, we don't reach our destination. In the same way, viewers of my channel, if the dunya overcomes us, the dunya takes over us, then we will not get to our ultimate destination, which is paradise. Viewers of my channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all think and reflect about what we have said today. That we all try and make a change in our mindset, in our mentality, in our lives, so that we can prepare ourselves for the hereafter. And remember this, viewers of my channel, as I said earlier on, that this dunya is like the water on the finger, but the hereafter is like the ocean. Let's work towards the ocean. Let's work for the hereafter. Let's work for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, when we enter that dark and lonely grave, all on our own, no wealth, no money, no gold, all on our own, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we'll see the benefits. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will